Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
In this episode of the podcast, we look at the day's events of the football history headlines for March 13th and the birthdays of Hall of Famers and their stories coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from the Pigpen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to your football history headlines for this March 13th edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch. Today, we have some great stories. The first one, I'm going to leave short and sweet because there's a much better storyteller than I do. But March 13th, 1960, the NFL Chicago Cardinals announced that they were moving to the city of St. Louis, Missouri. Now, this was after years of promising by the owner, Mr. Bidwell, that that would never happen, that they would stay in the south side of Chicago. But unfortunately, they did, and they went to greener pastures. Now, that's a better story for Joe Ziemba to tell. And we've got a link that he tells it in and a great podcast he has totally dedicated to. And I'm not going to step on his toes because he's a much better expert than I am. And he's a much better storyteller than I am. So make sure you check that out at the Sports History Network. But I will say that though it's sad when teams leave a city, especially Chicago, they had two teams there. But it gave something to the rest of the country, especially the city of St. Louis at that time, for some great decades that the Cardinals spent in St. Louis. And now you look at the last two or three decades that they've spent in Arizona. So the Cardinals, the oldest franchise in the NFL, leave the city that they started in, went to St. Louis, gained some fan base there, gave the fans some great memories, and then moved west to Arizona, where they're giving some great memories now, and they have the last few decades there. So it's a sad thing for the city it happens to, but those other cities get to share in some of the joy that is football that we all love to do and see. Now let's get to some birthdays of Hall of Famers. And on this March 13th, this happened in 1918, Corbin, Kentucky. Let me tell you a story about Duke University's playmaking halfback of 1937 to 1939, George McAfee, because he was born on that day. The footballfoundation.org website says that George struck fear in the opposing defenses because they had to respect his sudden bursts and quickness that could catch him off guard and turn to a long gain in any play. Sports writers refer to George as one play McAfee, and he had the potential for big play available constantly. Besides his speed and agility, the southpaw also was deadly with a halfback pass that employed from time to time to burn defenses with. McAfee made up half of a formidable backfield tandem, along with fellow Hall of Famer Eric Tipton, what formed a significant 1-2 punch of the great Duke University teams of the late 1930s. And when we say great teams, we have to mention the 1938 Blue Devils, who went undefeated, untied, and unscored upon in the regular season, and easily taking the Southern Conference crown, only to be knocked off in the Rose Bowl by USC 7-3 in a heartbreaker. Now let me tell you a little bit about that game. The streak of being unscored upon, it lasted for 58 minutes into the granddaddy of them all, too. After a scoreless first half, according to the Golden Rankings site, the Blue Devils finally caught a break they'd been waiting for in the form of a midfield interception in the third quarter. Then, Eric Tipton, fired a high arcing pass to George McAfee, who hauled it in and put the ball to Trojan 24. Roger Robertson and Tipton punched their way all the way down to the 16-yard line. Then on 4th and 2, third-string guard Tony Rufa booted a field goal from that 24-yard line on a second play of the last period. It looked like that might be the ticket to complete perfection for Duke, and that was until Southern Cal's fourth-string quarterback, Doyle Knave, drove the team down the field for a game-winning touchdown in the game's final seconds. The National Football Foundation selected George McAfee to join their other gridiron greats in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1961. George ended up being the second overall pick in 1940's draft by the Chicago Bears, and even wise coach George Halas was unsure if he had made a mistake because McAfee was a bit smaller than the prototypical NFL size for a durable running back. One play McAfee did not disappoint, though, as in 8 seasons, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, George scored 253 points, gained 5,313 total yards, and in the NFL, the two-way player also picked off 25 passes and led the league in punt returns in 1948, finishing his career with an average of 12.78 yards per punt return. As a side note, he was also the first player that made the trend of wearing low-cut shoes popular in the NFL. At a small ceremony in Canton, Ohio in 1966, the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined the legend of George McAfee. Also born on this date, March 13, 1938, Winchester, Massachusetts, the Swift Navy halfback for the era of 1958 to 1960, Joe Bellino arrived into this world. Joe is a special talent, as shown in the 1958 game when he scored the midshipman's only TD in a 22-6 loss to rival Army, who was a powerhouse at the time, and then only to come back the next season to pop off 115 yards and 3 scores to lead Navy over the Cadets. Bellino followed that performance with one in 1960, where he rallied the Middies to a 17-12 win over Army, and then inspired the Naval Academy to a 14-7 victory over an always tough Notre Dame team as well. Joe's collegiate football high watermark, according to the NFF's bio on him, was a 4-touchdown performance against Virginia in 1960, and also there was another play where he had a diving catch that he made in the Orange Bowl against Mizzou for a score. Navy retired his beloved number 27 from being used in future after his last game that Joe played. Bellino was rewarded for his talented performance by winning out not only the Maxwell Award, but the Heisman Trophy as well. The NFF voters summed up their desire for Joe Bellino to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1977. After he was done in Annapolis, he served his 4-year obligation to the Naval Branch and then played for the Boston Patriots in the AFL for 3 years. March 13, 1977, Alvin, South Carolina. Georgia Tech's quarterback from 1996 through 1999, Joe Hamilton, was born. The NFF tells how Joe became Georgia Tech's all-time leading passer and how he won the Davey O'Brien National Quarterback Award in a senior season of 1999. That same year, Hamilton was also a consensus first-team All-American, the ACC Player of the Year, and was a Heisman Trophy runner-up. Joe holds the Yellow Jackets' career yards of passing of 8,882 and touchdowns of 65 and a completion percentage of 62.0%. Joe got his big shot in the pros when he was picked in the 7th round of the 2000 NFL draft by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Hamilton spent 2 seasons with the Bucs and 1 with the Indianapolis Colts. He also played for the Orlando Predators of the Arena Football League for 3 seasons. The National Football Foundation placed the career of Joe Hamilton into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2014. We want to thank you once again for joining us for your football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers for this March 13th edition. And to make sure you don't miss a single time that we drop another podcast, hit that subscribe button or follow button, whatever your podcast provider calls it. It's the same thing. It'll let you know as soon as we release and take you right to our podcast. The other ways you can do it, you can go to the sportshistorynetwork.com. Check us out there with along with just about 20 other great podcasts on there that talk about sports history, because sportshistorynetwork.com is the headquarters of sports yesteryear. You can also find us on our flagship station, pigskindispatch.com/podcast, and you'll see all of our podcasts, all about 200 of them now, right there for your listening pleasure, and if you want to do some binge listening. And you can also check out articles on pigskindispatch.com that coincide with each of our podcasts and some other articles on great people of football and the history of the game. So until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck, because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.